This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Law.
Joy Law.
Jack and Dee.
Joy Law.
Very chipper.
Yes. It's good for what we're going to talk about, isn't it, Dean?
It's fantastic. So today, joining us live in the studio to talk about, I guess, over the Christmas period, some people had lovely Christmases and lovely, spent great time with the fam.
Yes.
And other people, perhaps, things got a bit tense and things might have broken down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe people wanted to watch Love Actually and someone else had a breakdown and cried. I don't know.
Could that have happened to somebody in the room?
Perhaps.
Maybe it happened to you. But anyway, some relationships may have broken down. But to join us to talk about relationship breakdowns and what you might do from a legal perspective is Chloe from KQ Lawyers. Hey, Chloe. How you doing?
Hi, guys.
Now, how was your Christmas, Chloe?
Mine was very relaxing.
And you're still married?
Still married.
Uh-huh.
It's all good.
All good.
Relaxing. What is that like?
It wasn't for you, Jack?
No.
Not quite.
No, it never is.
So, Chloe, tell us. So, if someone's relationship did break down, sadly, over the Christmas period...
So, often, we actually do see a little bit of a surge sometimes after the Christmas break, when a lot of times, I suppose, families are spending more time together than they might otherwise spend during the normal sort of term time arrangements that they might have with their families. And then what happens is they come to us or they start to think that maybe they don't want to be in this relationship anymore, and sometimes the relationship's broken down.
Well, you get like a really dud present.
Well, that often, you know, that could be it.
You don't love me. You don't know me at all.
You gave me a Home Alone DVD. The relationship's gone.
You gave me a, 500 thing puzzle, 500 piece puzzle. You don't know me.
No corners.
So basically what happens then is there's a few things to think about, and often because a lot of lawyers' offices are closed over the Christmas break, people don't think that they've got anybody to ask these questions. So they do sort of sit there in their families and they think about these things. They might talk to people and they get some advice from friends and family that may or may not be correct. And then basically when they do come to see us, they do have a range of questions. One of the things that is the primary consideration really is what happens when you've separated. So does one of you leave the house? Do you sell the house? Is there, basically comes down to the type of the relationship and how it was before it broke down.
But you reckon if people have broken up and let's say they're living together, because not all couples live together, but let's say they're living together and you do break up, can you co-inhabit? Can you still live together, do you think?
Some people do. I've heard couples doing that because that I know just financially they can't afford to not do it. And they'll bring another person home. Oh, what a mess.
Oh, it is a mess.
And also, how do you decide on these things if, you know, something terrible's happened and you're heartbroken, you can't even face this person, let alone make these huge decisions?
Look, it can be really difficult. And that's really the only time this sort of thing happens, where people do stay in the same house, is really, it can only work if it's amicable. Yep. So if the relationship is broken down because there hasn't really been any sort of catalyst, it's just been a decision that they've come to and they've said, this isn't working, we're just going to call it quits.
Or conscious uncoupling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A Gwyneth situation.
Beautiful.
They can remain in the house, and often if they do have children, that might be something they've decided to do over the festive season to make it easier for the kids, and they've just decided, we'll just stay here until the new year and we'll sort everything out then.
Mm-hmm.
Look, that can work. Often these people aren't the people we see in our profession, because everything's amicable and they're not having any huge problems at that time. If it's not amicable but it's not high conflict, it might be that they want to remain in the house together just until they can get a resolution. So it might be until they reach a financial settlement. They might be going to mediation. They might be having discussions with family members or friends. They might, as you say, not be able to afford to do it in the interim in terms of paying a mortgage and paying rent for two properties. And they might be able to make that decision to stay in the one house. You do have another side, and that's the high conflict separations. When that happens, it can be a situation where one party might feel that they need to get an intervention order to get somebody out. And that's a really difficult situation, because it might be that in terms of an intervention order, it might actually not be that you need to get an intervention order to kick them out. There's actually different terms and conditions you can have on that. So it just might be, if somebody's getting particularly aggressive, you might say, look, I need you to calm down, I need you to behave yourself.
Yeah.
You can't commit family violence against me by behaving in that manner. So this intervention order that I'm going to apply for will just be that you can stay in the house with me, but you've just got to behave yourself. So there are terms and conditions you can have on that.
Oh, I like that.
And of course,
there
you made the nice clarification there. Family violence can actually be verbal. It doesn't necessarily.
It is, yep, definitely.
Yes. Physical.
A lot of the cases we see are verbal. It can be economic abuse. Uh-huh. It can be a situation where one person might be financially dependent on the other. And in the face of a separation, somebody suddenly withdraws that financial support. What is that person supposed to do? How are they supposed to buy food? How are they supposed to pay their bills? It becomes a really distressing situation for that person, and that is tantamount to family violence.
Goodness me.
Goodness me, I mean, you're pondering
that, this. That's a lot.
And especially this time of year, when I think of summer holidays and families and fun. I don't think of relationships breaking down, but of course this can happen any time.
It happens every day, and I mean, that's our industry, that's what we deal with. It's quite a sad part of life, but it is part of life, and even over Christmas that happens.
And we have with us Chloe today, and we're talking about the unfortunate event where a relationship may have broken down over Christmas.
Yeah. Look, one of the things that really becomes the primary concern for parties when they separate, when they've got children, is what's going to happen with the children when they separate.
Yes.
Yeah, poor kids.
So it really depends as well on the first thing we were talking about earlier, which was what happens with the house. So if you're both remaining under the one roof and it's amicable, obviously it goes without saying that the kids are there too, and that can work out. You work out your schedules around that. One type of arrangement that I have seen work, and it generally only works in the short term, is what's called a nesting arrangement. So what happens there is the kids live at the home, and the parents will alternate with one of them actually leaving the residence to live with a family member or a friend on a schedule, so that the kids have the one parent one-on-one. And that the parents don't have to actually share every parenting decision. It's sort of like they actually have the care of the children when they're in the home with the children. So that will only generally work short term, because the minute new partners start to come into the game, it can change things and change the dynamics a little bit.
And also, you didn't buy the milk, you know.
Well, you drank all the milk and I'm the one who bought it, and it just becomes a dilemma.
I'm not sure that's the biggest concern.
But breakdown of the family unit, but there's no milk.
Exactly. Or toilet paper. It's always the toilet paper.
Well, that's the reason they broke up in the first place, clearly.
Yes.
Well,
absolutely.
You never buy.
But it's hard with kids, isn't it?
It can be really difficult. And I suppose at this stage of the year, what we're also looking at is the start of a new school term coming up. So what our advice to clients and to everybody going through a situation like this is to really think about the children first, because if you were in court, the court will always consider the child's primary, their primary consideration of the court is the child's best interests. And it's important the parents keep that in mind when they're making their decisions, because at the end of the day, all parents love their children. That goes without saying. They should. And they should want what's best for those children. And it's not about what's fair for the parent. I want to see the children. It's devastating that your relationship's broken down, but you need to deal with that on your own and not put that on the children.
Well, absolutely.
You must have to deal with a lot of childish behaviour from the parents as well.
You can do, yes. You'd be surprised at how some adults can behave. And one of the things I would say if you're in this situation is see if you can mediate something with your ex-partner together, if you have that relationship and you can talk to them. If you can't, you know, utilise a friend, a mutual friend that you both trust, or a family member, and see if you can arrange, sort of get to a resolution. And if not, there's mediation services you can use. Basically, what you should do is try to get something in place now for the start of the school year. It doesn't have to be formalised by way of court orders. It can just be a parenting plan. It can just be as simple as an email between you both that sets out what your expectations are for the upcoming term. Because you don't want your child to start the new school year in a sort of state of upheaval. No. It's not in anyone's best interest, especially not the children's.
And getting it in writing is important.
Yes.
It is. Well, the only caveat I will say with that is get it in writing if you're comfortable with the solution. If you're not comfortable and you're feeling like you're being bullied into something that you don't think is in your child or children's best interest, probably say you're not comfortable committing it to writing, but you're happy to trial an arrangement. And you can trial that and say, look, I'm going to try it for this term, see if it works. And if it doesn't work, you can go back to mediation. You can also attempt family counselling. Just because you're separated doesn't mean you can't attend for counselling. You can also do child-inclusive counselling. So if your children are of an age where you think that they should have a say in where they live, include them in the process.
Yeah. There you go.
Absolutely.
But do that with a professional. I would never advise a parent to sort of, you don't want to have that conversation with the child where one parent's saying one thing, one parent saying the other. Do it with the assistance of a professional.
Sounds like good advice.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chloe. We look forward to speaking to you and the team from KHQ Lawyers again next week.
Thanks for having me.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.